Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline. That includes Hall of Famer Barry Sanders. Guys, you could say Jim Brown or whoever else, the best, most spectacular running back I've ever put my eyes on is Barry Sanders. That's the dude where I was like, to me, that's the guy I measure everybody against. He's on in 10 minutes. We're going to ask him about the future of Saquon Barkley with the Giants. But the Knicks made a trade yesterday, and it's not the trade they made only. I think it's a significant trade, but it's what the trade may indicate about the future. First, here's Woj on the Knicks trading for Cam Reddish.
Now, for a 22-year-old wing player, you know, very skilled offensively, having his best season now, listen, this was a player for the Knicks to take a flyer on. You know, I think he's going to have to improve defensively to play for Tom Thibodeau, but that's an important position in the NBA. People are always looking for athletic, skilled wings. And so the Knicks get a young one.
Jay?
Yep.
Cam Reddish, like R.J. Barrett, by the way. Age 22 season, they played in college together. Both of them right at the moment in their career where you're like, okay, guys, you're very young, you're making improvements, but this year you have to take a step forward. Right when you're like, uh-oh, they both took the step forward to me. I think that together, this makes a lot of sense. They have young, improving, talented offensive players. But what are the concerns for Cam Reddish?
So the talent is off the charts. The one thing that will be interesting to see how it connects with the New York City mindset, right? The toughness, the grit, don't complain. Like, we've seen what reaction kind of was, kind of elicited from Julius Randle going thumbs down, how people reacted to that to a degree, right? The thing that I've heard around the league about Cam, and that kind of happened at Duke as well, was that there is something about him that people think that he is a little bit lethargic. He isn't as aggressive as you need him to be. There's a sense of him not being in tune psychologically. Now, look, I think the talent is off the damn charts. And let's address the elephant in the room. It automatically starts one to think about Duke basketball. Every time we play a game at Madison Square Garden, you know what we call that? We call that Duke North, right? Because we play all of our games, away games, at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, unfortunately, there are a lot of Duke fans in New York City. I've noticed it.
Yes, and there are a lot of Duke students that are from the New York tri-state area that go to school down in Durham, North Carolina. Yeah. So it makes you start to think about, are you trying to run it back with that team that had a run in the NCAA tournament with R.J. Barrett, Cam Reddish, and then Zion Williamson, who was injured, obviously, and going through a lot. But it makes you think, could it lead down that road?
Coach K will be available. What are you talking about?
How could RJ and Cam coexist now in the NBA? That was college. But on this Knick team, how can they coexist and both be able to get what they need?
Because RJ is more of a slasher. He gets to the rim, and I think that elevates his game. And Cam has an incredible jump shot. I mean, he's shooting 37.9% from the three-point line. And it's something of beauty to watch. And he's more of a catch-off, dribble, penetration, shoot, drive it again type of play.
It's not exactly the same key, but I would say DeRozan and Zach LaVine both occupy similar niches, but one guy shoots the three, one guy, you know, they're both athletic wings and scorers, but their games can complement each other, right? Like,
look,
Cam
it can
Reddish.
Work, man. And Julius Randle occupies a lot of the paint when he gets in that paint.
Well, I mean, if Zion comes, Julius ain't going to be there.
Yeah, fair, but I'm looking at it, immediate results, right? Immediate returns. It gives you somebody from a floor spacing perspective to have.
But why?
And Kevin Knox wasn't working out for this team. I called that a long time ago, and New York Knicks fans tried to kill me. And I said, look, it was the same similar question around Kevin Knox, that drive, that determination. Now, it's the same question for Cam, but I think the upside for Cam is different than Kevin Knox.
Why is Zion coming, though? If. Why would it be an if Zion comes?
Can I? You want to hear
jump
something?
In on that.
Here's Zion Williamson, who's obviously the Pelicans' power forward, at a press conference April 21st, 2021, this past year.
New York is the mecca of basketball. I love playing here. When I played here in college, and this is my first time playing here in the pros. And, I mean, this atmosphere, you know, whether they're cheering for you, whether they're booing for you, it's amazing. Honestly, I think outside of New Orleans, obviously, I think this might be my favorite place to play outside of New Orleans. I can't even lie to you.
Come on, man.
And you got to say outside of the team I'm on now.
As soon as he said it, everybody, yeah, you're lying.
Yeah, right. Like, so basically what he's saying is New York is his favorite place to play.
So you think based on him liking to play in New York, mm-hmm. that there's a possibility that he could be on the move and become a Knick rather than somewhere else whatever the case be? Because everybody that comes to Madison Square Garden essentially says
Here's the same thing,
and they never wind up playing for the Knicks.
But I'm telling you, Keith, there's a built-in bias here. And I'm going to tell you guys why. When you come here and you play as part of the Duke organization, you start to feel like it's a home game, man. Like if there's one game or one scenario for a team that feels closest to what it feels like when the Knicks are rocking, that's a Duke home game at Madison Square Garden.
Also, let's state the obvious here. Not only would you put the band back together from Duke, which was always more of a pro team than the cut. Like they needed a little more shooting, but it was one and done type players where you're like in the pros. Like, if this was 4 or 5 years from now, that might be different. The Knicks have never had a high flyer like Zion Williamson ever, right? More than that, though, when Leon Rose and World Wide West took over, part of the idea there is be an attractive place for players to play. So I look at this Cam Reddish move to join R.J. Barrett, who's just been coming on, and I'm like, oh, okay, they're laying the groundwork for Zion, and if that starts to click... Now, hold up. You got Cam and RJ and Zion, and they haven't been paid yet. So you got some cash to spend, too, and other free agents looking around or other players in the league.
Now, here's a multi-billion-dollar question, Max. Considering the history of Zion injury-wise, are you willing to bet that he pans out long-term?
That's a question for Knicks fans.
Yes, it is.
Right? Do Knicks fans want Zion Williamson? They wanted him in the draft.
They wanted him draft. Yes, they did. But I mean, a different scenario now. But there has been a lot of talk from "quote unquote" people in his camp about how they're not happy with the situation down in New Orleans. How that happened with David Griffin. How that happened with their coach that they lost. There's been a lot of chaos around that.
You know what it reminds me of a little bit? Joel Embiid, who, because of injury concerns, went third instead of first. The injury concerns panned out for the first several years of his career. He did not play much. And in the playoffs,
different game though. Different. You can't compare Joel Embiid to Zion just because the skill
one guy
set
is like a
drastically different.
I understand. Well, I'm not using them as similar players. I'm saying similar injury concerns and beginning. I'm taking a guy who's a superstar now.
But Zion didn't
who
have
in the beginning. It was like, uh-oh, he's too hurt.
But Zion didn't have injury concerns in college.
He did.
He did.
No, he did. Yeah, he came like out with a bad
a little bit with the knee in high school, and then it followed him in college with the shoe blowout and other
the
things.
The shoe blowout was a shoe blowout. That wasn't. I mean, that.
Oh, you're saying Zion.
I said Zion.
Zion, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. I thought you meant Embiid.
No. I said Zion. There wasn't no injury concerns when he was in college to the pros. He went number one overall, where Embiid dropped down because of injury concerns.
But to me, there was always that injury concern with Zion based on his size and explosiveness. And, like, well, and by the way, right, the sneaker couldn't even take it.
Well, it's not just the size and the explosiveness.
But maybe the sneaker wasn't made right, man.
I don't know.
It's Nike.
I don't know if it's, you know.
But I don't think it's just because of the size and the explosiveness. I think it's because of his game. Like, Joel Embiid, you see him a lot in games. Like, he trails. He can shoot threes. The ISO, the footwork, right? Zion's game, for the most part, is attack the rim with reckless abandonment. Like, that's his game, right?
Oh,
he wants
to
finish over the top of people, which puts him in harm's way, which makes you concerned as a fan.
Yeah, Blake Griffin. He's like a souped-up
Blake
Griffin.
But Blake Griffin can now shoot.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like, when Blake Griffin was coming up.
I told you what Zion was.
Yeah, you said it.
I called him long way in college. I'm like, he ain't nothing but a Blake Griffin. That's all he is.
But that's all he is. Blake was
a lot. That's special, though.
That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. It's an all-star. But it's not a guy that takes you to the promised
land. Right. It's not a number one on a championship team. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. We're asking on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, who has the most on the line in Super Wild Card Weekend and why? Let's talk about it with this is the dude, if you lived through the era and put your eyeballs on him, that you compare all others to, the great Barry Sanders.
Or put your eyeballs on him and can't tackle him.
Tampa's favorite, but Antonio Brown's gone, Chris Godwin's gone. Philadelphia could keep it close.
Are you serious with this? You think the Patriots need a new what?
The kid playing quarterback ain't our future. The future of the NFL is over in Buffalo.
And we are thrilled to be joined by the great Barry Sanders. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. Good morning,
good,
Barry.
Man. Doing good.
So, how are you getting ready for Wild Card Weekend?
Oh man, I'm excited about it. I mean, you know, great matchups. You know, I'm partially getting ready by listening to you guys. You know, but yeah, just some great matchups, and it should be a lot of fun. You know, and me and my friends at Rocket Mortgage got some great things lined up for Super Bowl down the road. But yeah, I'm getting my chips and popcorn ready, man, ready to roll.
Well, that's good, Barry. You've had an opportunity to see Matthew Stafford on the ground floor there in Detroit a lot when he was with the Lions. And he's had a solid year with the Rams so far. How much pressure do you think is on him to lead the Rams deep into the playoffs, something he could not do in Detroit?
Well, I think the pressure is very real. I think he's in a great situation. He's with a team that's been there before. You know, I mean, it's really a lovely situation for him, but I'm sure he's feeling the pressure, but Matthew, he's up to it. I mean, everyone who wins, the big one has to learn how to at some point, you know? And so I'm one of the Detroiters saying, hey, look, man, the best to Matthew. He's been in this league for a long time, putting up big numbers. He's played against all those guys who've done it. You know, and so this is his time to shine. So I think he's up for it.
Barry,
the pressure is very real. Yeah. I mean, he's feeling it more than probably any other player. Mm.
Barry, you were so durable. I we've been seeing running backs like Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley get drafted high, but have had trouble staying on the field. If you were a president, a GM or owner of a team right now, would you still build your team around a running back?
Yeah, I think it depends on who you're talking about. I mean, you got to do your homework. You look at someone like Derrick Henry. I mean, I think he's someone you can build around. You look at someone like Jonathan Taylor. I think he's certainly someone you can build around. Even I see Dalvin Cook all the time. I mean, he's a player that put up big numbers. You know, whether you can build around him, I don't know, but there's certainly some good young running backs who've proven their net worth out there. Is it as valuable as some of the top quarterbacks? I think that's, you know, that's a discussion you can have. But I think, for instance, if you take this season, there weren't that many offensive players that more, you know, more dynamic than Jonathan Taylor. He was in the MVP race, put up big numbers. I wish his team had given him the ball 40 times. In the last game when he was up, you know, in the running for MVP and potential playoff berth. I know that's a different conversation, but to answer your question, yeah, I think there's still some running backs out there you can build your team around.
Barry, how about specifically Saquon Barkley? Would you build around him?
I mean, that's a tough question. Yeah. I think he came in looking the part. He certainly came in looking the part season. He came in with a bang. I think that was his best season. I'm not looking at the numbers, but if you're saying, okay, currently right now, I don't think he's proven to be that kind of player, but he's still young and, you never know what the future holds, so that's really all I can say about that.
Mm. Barry Sanders, Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame running back from the Detroit Lions, joined us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Barry, despite Dan Campbell going 3-13 in his first season, they were competitive at times, the Lions, that is. Do you believe and feel like Dan is changing the culture in Detroit from where it was under Matt Patricia?
I think so. I hope so. I think there were some promising signs the last, month and a half of the season. Certainly it's nice to get a win against the division leader going into the offseason. I think Coach Campbell saw some promising things. I mean, when you're 3-13, you realize, hey, it was a tough season. We've had far too many double-digit losing seasons the last few years. This is Coach Campbell's first. I mean, this is his first stint as a head coach. I mean, I'm sure he learned a lot. You know, he came in here probably assuming what he had. Now he knows what he has, and he knows what's up against him. He knows he understands the Packers a little more, and the Vikings and the Bears, and just, you know, what it takes to be a head coach. So I'm assuming that, yeah, he's learned a lot of tough lessons this first season. But I think that the team fought hard. I think next year obviously will be the biggest indication of, okay, what, you know, where are we going here? You know, and so, but us Lions fans are very hopeful.
You know, there was once upon a time, Barry, I was a little skinny kid running around the National Football League in 1997, and you essentially ruined my new year because we had you bottled up in the first half, I believe, in 1997, and then you just unleashed on us in the second half and went over 2,000 yards and wind up knocking me and my team, the New York Jets, out the playoffs. And I'll never forget that moment at all. I love you to death.
You're welcome.
I love you to death, but we had him. We thought we had him bottled up. Oh, we like, oh, yeah, we got. Oh, that's Barry Sanders. That didn't work so well.
Pop, pop.
No, kids, if you're wondering, YouTube it.
The human joystick,
oh,
man.
Yeah. Come on, you were Madden before Madden,
Barry.
That was
my best season. That was my best season, man. That was my ninth season, and that was the last regular season game, and it was a lot at stake. And obviously, going against yourself, you know, going against Coach Belichick, Parcells. I mean, that was a great staff you guys had there. And yeah, man, I remember that. And like I said, man, you're very welcome. For that game, you know, I just, you know, I wanted to kind of lull you guys to sleep in the first half, and then come out with a bang in the second half. So that was my plan, and it ended up working well that day.
Oh, go ahead and talk that humble trash, Barry.
Man,
go ahead and talk that
it,
humble trash.
Did it not? You had to see it though. You had to be up close in person to really see it to appreciate it.
You know, Barry Sanders led the league in like yards per game. Like what I remember, it was like every year. It was ridiculous.
Barry, I have a question for you. When you were at that level, what was the game like for you? You know how some of the greats say the game just felt slow. Can you describe how the game moved for you that you were able to do what you were able to do?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think for me is I had good understanding of or control, I guess. I felt like I had more control over, you know, myself and even sometimes even defense on certain plays and in certain situations. You know, and almost I could anticipate, you know, what the defense was going to do. I was great at just reacting. And for me, I think being a smaller player, I think I always had just an awareness, you know, awareness of where guys were coming from and just being able to react, you know, with quick snap judgment on the field. You know, and obviously there's the measurables and things like that, but I think just a great awareness, and I always love playing running back and the challenge of it and the challenge of going against the great, great defensive players. You know, so I think those are some of the things that really drove me.
Barry, you mentioned earlier what you were doing down the road for the Super Bowl. Tell us more about it.
Oh, absolutely, man. Rocket Mortgage again this year is giving away a ton of cash to fans. You know, we're back with a game of Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. For Super Bowl, obviously, and every score change, fans will have a chance to win $50,000. There are going to be two grand prizes of $500,000. One will give away at halftime, one at the end of the game. So just go to rocketmortgagesquares.com, find out more about it. If you refer a friend, you can potentially win even more squares. You know, it's free to play, so you don't have a good reason to not play. You know, so again, that's Rocket Mortgage Squares. RocketMortgageSquares.com. Learn more about it. I think the entry window closes February 11th, I believe. That would be the Friday before Super Bowl. So good luck to all the fans out there. And Rocket Mortgage just, you know, giving away a lot of cash for fans watching the big game.
That is Barry Sanders, ladies and gentlemen. Best running back I ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Barry. Appreciate it.
Hey, gentlemen. Great to be with you.
All take right, care. Thing, brother. Who gave you that work key? He gave you all that work?
Not me. I played offense. I didn't play. I was
not
sitting
me.
There. I was sitting there watching. In one run, man, so it's 11 guys on defense. He probably made 8 guys miss on one run. Like, miss. Like literally like a cat, like you chasing a cat around to get him back into the cage. And he just, it was crazy.
Hey, that's like
and that was the first time I saw him play. Obviously, I was coming out of college. Yeah. I saw him play on television and stuff like that. And this was my second year in the league, so I got a chance to see it up close and personal on the sideline. Damn,
I got to tell you, I love those moments. Like we had a couple of those in the league where Vince Carter banged on Eddie Curry. And I remember we roasted Eddie Curry in the locker room. Mm-hmm. Kid, that's where you come in the locker room like, no, yo.
But you don't understand, though, Jay. We was on our way to the playoffs. Yeah, we had him in a bottle, sealed up. We was putting the tape around him. We had him all done. We went into halftime.
You rubbed the bottle. That's the problem.
And messed around and dropped the bottle. It broke. It was over.
I mean, this dude, you know,
13-10.
You know what's funny? That he was a guy where, you know, you put him behind Emmitt Smith's offensive line. Good Lord. But people, oh, Emmitt Smith runs between the tackles. Barry Sanders would take a loss for yards sometimes. But when you ask Barry Sanders, what running backs could you build around? He named all kind of downhill running, big, strong backs, not the slick, elusive dudes. You would think Saquon, McCaffrey, I guess because they're hurt, you can't say that
elusive,
right now.
He was elusive, but his lower body was ridiculous. Yeah, strong.
Yeah, control.
You know, and you hadn't seen anything like that before.
You think if he had IG back then, we would be talking about his thighs and all the stuff we talk about with Saquon Barkley?
He was smaller than Saquon, though. He's a smaller guy.
Smaller, yeah. But still thick.
Yeah.
Speaking of greatness in the 90s, the greatest rivalry of the 90s will be renewed on Sunday. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Left wing for Morant. Morant crosses over on Beverly. Left baseline drive, hangs in the air, banks it up and in, and gets one more. Foul called, and it'll be on Jared Vanderbilt. 71-68, Morant with the bucket.
Three ball wasn't falling for Job, but he still dropped 16. You heard it on 92.9 ESPN Memphis. The Grizzlies were able to extend their franchise best winning streak to 11 in a row with a 116-108 win over the Minnesota Timberwolves on Thursday night. So their record for a single season win streak is 10. They already have that. But now they're one win away from a franchise record 12 straight wins if you pick up a winning streak from the previous season. They can do it tonight when they host the Mavericks at 10 p.m. on ESPN. Meantime, in the NFL, David Culley was fired by the Texans after only one season. Houston went 4-13 overall after a bunch of quarterback issues. It's also the first time a franchise has fired a coach after one season. Culley said Monday he had expected to return, and nine-time Australian Open champion Novak Djokovic faces deportation from Australia again after his visa was revoked for the second time. The defending Australian Open champion, who is not vaccinated against COVID-19 in spite of the choice of several safe and effective vaccines, is expected to make another appeal. The tournament begins Monday in Australia across ESPN. I'm talking about these stories and more on this just in today, 2 p.m. Eastern. SportsCenter is brought to you by Goodyear. Goodyear knows the passion it takes to drive every game forward. Whether your team's home or away, the traditions that bring us together are still the same. That's the road that moves us, Goodyear, more driven.
This is America. There's a lot of pressure and responsibility that goes along with being America's team. Every year we read the headline numerous times. It's their year, it's their year. Is this your year?
For sure.
What a strike from Dak Prescott!
Excited about the way that we finish this regular season, but none of it matters now. Line them up, we're ready to go.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Download the podcast. Catch us on your smart speakers. Harry Douglas. You hear him on this show. He's hosted this show before. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, all guests on the Goodyear Hotline, and here is our football analyst, Harry Douglas. Good morning, Harry.
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Harry, can I tell you what you just missed? You just missed Key. We were talking to our guy, Paul, our stage manager, saying that he took, you know, he did ballet on Broad Street, and Key was Broadway. I said Broad Street, geez. And Key was like, oh, yeah, I did ballet. I could do a toe touch, and literally stood up and tried to do a toe touch. I have the video. It was nowhere close to a toe touch, Harry.
No, it wasn't. It was a low touch.
It was a knee touch. Those are not your toes. Those are your knees.
Can you do a toe touch?
That's the age. Man.
Could you do a toe touch? You got the warm weather down there in Atlanta. You got more flexibility.
No, we don't. It's cold right now. Listen, I'm going to get firewood after I get off with y'all, after I drop my son off. It's supposed to snow here Sunday. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get some firewood so I can light every fireplace in my house.
Oh, so that means Atlanta completely just shut down.
Yeah, you right. They got exactly. a snowflake
they get
down
a
there.
Flake. It's like, everybody in the
supermarket sold out.
D.C., Atlanta, all that. Once
to the
you
store
get to
too.
That neck of
I gotta
the woods.
Get groceries.
That's what I'm saying. Y'all be clearing the grocery store out, man. They didn't even snow yet.
It's sad. I don't know why. It's
so I mentioned when we were off during the holidays, Harry Douglas was on this show filling in. Here is Harry from 3.5 weeks ago on this show on why the 49ers were dangerous. Listen.
I just think they present a brand of football where you talk about the playoffs that you want to play. You want to control the line of scrimmage. They can do both of those things with their offensive line. You look at Trent Williams, a guy who's been doing it for a long time.
One of the best.
He's been doing it for a very, very long time. And I'll go to their center, Alex Mack, a guy who was in Atlanta with Kyle Shanahan. So you just have that continuity there, and I think they're peaking at the right time to make noise. And, yes, I'm going to say it with my chest. I think they're the best team in the NFC West right now.
So –
Ten toes down on it, too. Mm.
Is that still the case? Like, are they the best team in the NFC West right now?
I believe so. Because, see, here's the thing about the San Francisco 49ers. There's no window dressing when it comes to this. There's no trying to be cute. You know what they're going to do. You know who they're going to be. Can you stop it? Point blank, period.
Yeah.
Can the Cowboys?
If the Cowboys are hitting on all cylinders, they probably will win this football game. But if they're not hitting on all cylinders, they won't win. Because the San Francisco 49ers, this is what a lot of people got to understand. Defensively, they're top 10 against the pass. They're top 10 against the run. They're top 10 in sacking the quarterback. I think they have like 48 on the year in sacking the quarterback. But then I think they have three of the best linebackers in the game, Fred Warner, Greenlaw, Al-Shaair. When you look at the players that they have offensively that can do a multiplicity of different things, right? You talk about Juszczyk, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, George Kittle, and not to mention they got that one in the holster named Trey Lance that can get involved in that run game. And see the Dallas Cowboys defensively, they're very aggressive, right?
Yeah.
That misdirection gonna control all that aggressiveness.
Yeah.
So those guys better read their keys and be on their P's and Q's.
Hey, Harry, I've been saying that the entire time. When you watching them fly sweeps and you looking at that as a defensive end and you looking to set the edge and all of a sudden, or you looking to pin your ears back and all of a sudden you got to freeze for a minute because that misdirection and them eyeballs is chasing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden that cutback lane is there. It's a little too late.
But
so I agree with you as far as the Niners coming out of the – as far as the Niners being the best team in the NFC West because the Niners own the Rams. And the Rams getting ready to cancel out each other with Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at it, they may be the only ones standing in the end.
Parsons is a little different, though. It's not like Van Der Esch and these guys from a couple years back. Micah Parsons is
but it's
is
not it.
A
it's
different
the,
kind
but,
of guy.
But let's remember,
he is a rookie now. I understand he's been great this year. And Kyle Shanahan, what does he do well? Motions before the snap.
Absolutely.
Shifts,
them eyeballs.
All that kind of stuff. And let's not forget now, this is a main point a lot of people not remembering. Dan Quinn and Kyle Shanahan was together in Atlanta. There's a reason why Kyle Shanahan was Dan Quinn's offensive coordinator. That offense presented his defense all kind of challenges every time he faced it. That's another nugget y'all got to throw in there as well.
So, Harry, let's talk about coaching for one second. What do you think would happen to Mike McCarthy if the Cowboys are one and done?
Listen, we should shoot dice, right? And you try to roll an eight
I'm going to fade you every time, by the way. Go ahead.
Well, Harry's about shooting dice. Go ahead.
Eight skate and donate.
Tell him, Harry.
He got to go. You got to go.
You got
to go. If you lose in the first round this year after the record that you have right now with it, 12-5, and your owner just came out and said that it's a Super Bowl or bust, he has to go.
Harry's turning it into a CeeLo. We're talking about the NFL playoff.
So we're going to rope off the corner of the studio for Harry for our next dice CeeLo, game, man. So
that's the boy, CeeLo King over here, boy. Mm-hmm.
So, Harry, how concerned should the Packers be if they got to see the 49ers if they get past the Cowboys?
I'm very concerned. The first matchup key early in the year. Remember, Aaron Rodgers in that Packers offense had to go down with about, 20-something seconds left in the game to kick a field goal to win that matchup. A lot of people not remembering that. And then let's take it some steps back. Not far from the NFC Championship game where they demolished the Green Bay Packers running the football and playing a brand of football that I don't think many teams in the NFC want to play, which is a physical brand.
Mm-hmm. Meantime, we talk Cowboys, talk Niners, talk Packers. No one is really expecting the Bengals to win the Super Bowl this year. But, Harry, I can't rule them out. Like, the Eagles ain't going to win the Super Bowl. I can't say that about the Bengals.
Harry, Max is in love with Joe Burrow.
Yeah, Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, those are my dudes. That's right.
Bengals
get the Raiders, though, Harry. And you know, Derek Carr and the Raiders, like a Cinderella season for them. Who do you like here?
I like the Raiders in this one. I watched that first matchup that they played this year about four times now. And the Raiders basically beat themselves. Joe Burrow, he went 20 for 29 in that game, but he didn't have over 200 yards passing. And the Raiders struggled to stop the run game. Joe Mixon had a great game, but the Bengals couldn't stop Darren Waller and Derek Carr. And you look at that game, right? The first series of the game for the Cincinnati Bengals ended up in a sack fumble. They come back. They have a third down play, and the Bengals get sacked again, but one of the defensive linemen lined up in the neutral zone. They had another play. Third down, they get another third down stop. And for some reason, the corner of the safety hit a defenseless receiver. And that extended the drive for the Bengals. They went down and scored. Then you had the late two turnovers by the Raiders as well. So watching that game, I'm saying to myself, the Cincinnati Bengals didn't beat the Raiders. The Raiders beat themselves. So I'm looking forward to the Raiders winning this game. And then let's not poop on Derek Carr either. If that game is close toward the end, I'm rolling with Derek Carr.
See, a lot of people all season long, though, they've been hating on Carr, and I kept trying to tell, you know, they don't know, man. They all the media types, you know, what do they know? And I'm trying to tell them, I said, man, that dude is good, man. I'm like, man, that dude is really good. Oh, yeah. And then as time went on, everybody like, oh, well, yeah, you know, you're kind of right. I'm like, what are y'all looking at? Stop paying attention to the narrative. Just stop it. So Monday night, Matthew Stafford, Kyler Murray, they're going up against each other in SoFi for the third time this year. Matthew Stafford, 0-3, lifetime in the playoffs, although that was with the Lions, and Kyler Murray, first time ever in the playoffs. Who do you trust more in this game?
So that would be right now. Right now I trust Kyler Murray more. Because of the fact that Matthew Stafford, the last four games, the man has 9 turnovers in the last 4 games. Mm-hmm. 8 interceptions, 1 fumble. And the same body language that I've seen Sean McVay have with Jared Goff when he messed up the last 4 games, I've seen that from Sean McVay when it came to his quarterback position. You see him on that sideline around the offense on that knee, That's him being worried. And Matthew Stafford, man, he's underthrowing footballs. He's missing guys. That whole debacle. But you got to remember, this organization gave up, traded Jared Goff for Matthew Stafford because he was the guy. They made the Super Bowl with Jared Goff. They didn't win it, but they made it. If they don't get to the Super Bowl and win it, in my eyes, it's a bust because they basically gave up their draft picks, this year, next year, and I think some more years ahead too. So they're all in. They put all the chips in at the poker table. So I think Matthew Stafford has the most pressure on him, more so than anybody in these playoffs, whether he wanted it or not.
Agreed.
And then he's just not playing. He's not playing a good brand of football right now. And Dan Orlowski continues to say he's not worried about Matthew Stafford. Listen,
man,
you turn the football over
Dan.
In the playoffs, it's a wrap.
I totally agree, especially in game one. Most pressure on Matt Stafford in the playoffs. That is Harry Douglas, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Harry.
All right, no HD. I'm still fading you when we get that craps game
man,
going.
You crazy.
Come on, man.
Man, go cook some chitlins. We out.
One team went from a big commitment to their quarterback to no commitment. So what went so wrong?
Oh, jeez.
No?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Take it.
Or shake it.
Shake it.
Take it or shake it.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Take it away, Evan.
All right, take it or shake it. Brought to you by Grainger. So, Chris Ballard, the Colts GM, not really committed on Carson Wentz. Are you guys? Will Carson Wentz be the starting quarterback for the Colts in 2022? Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Take it.
Certainly will be the starting quarterback. May be some competition, but in the end, just follow the money, right? You got to follow the money. And part of following the money is the draft picks that they gave up to get Carson Wentz. He'll get another shot and opportunity in 2022. Beyond that, there's no guarantees.
The question is, who are you replacing Carson Wentz with? And my thing is, first year under Frank Reich, getting a chance to understand the system. Jonathan Taylor had a spectacular year. Realistically, you have to run it back next year. Colts fans may not like it, but it is what it is.
I'm not the biggest Carson Wentz supporter, as you may remember.
You aren't? Shocking.
What are you really looking for him? He took a big step forward this year. It was a good bounce back year. He wound up being a solid quarterback. And given the options and the money you owe him, he's probably going to be the quarterback again next year, and maybe he can take another step forward.
Maybe they get Sam Ehlinger an opportunity.
I wouldn't put my money on it, but yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Some thought they could go to the playoffs.
Certainly thought they could.
Well. Joe Burrow will stay unbeaten in quote-unquote big games. He's 6-0 with no interceptions. He stays unbeaten. Take it or shake it.
Here's a problem that I have. I keep going back and forward on this one. I'm just going to roll with the Raiders, and
excuse
I'm going to shake
say,
it.
Yeah, can you say shake it first and then give you a reason why? That's how the game is played.
Because earlier today you took the Bengals.
Shake it!
I wanted to explain that. That's why I did it beforehand.
But you're going back and forth within a couple hours.
Yeah, because I'm sitting here and I'm thinking as I'm thinking out loud and I'm hearing things come in, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to shake that. I'm rolling with Carr, especially after I listened to Harry Douglas that was on with us just a minute ago. I said, oh, you know what? He has a point. Darren Waller did take care of business in that first game until he had to leave the game. They were on the ropes until late at those two turnovers. So I'm going with the Raiders, man. It ends this streak that, what do you call him, Magical Joe or something?
Joe Thurow.
Yeah, Joe Thurow is having.
I'm going to go with Joe Thurow on this one to get the job done. I get the year that the Raiders are having, and I get what Harry Douglas said about, you know, Darren Waller getting hurt in that game. But there's something that feels unique about the relationship that him and Ja'Marr Chase have, Joe Mixon, their defense, Zach Taylor, and all the questions we had about this team coming into the season. They are a different team who believes they belong in the big moments.
Yeah, I'll say I'm with Key. It goes like I go back and forth. I'm going to go with the Bengals because of Joe Thurrow. But Derek Carr and the Raiders, they have that feel. I took Justin Herbert, and they beat them, and Justin Herbert played out of his mind, and they still beat him. But I still like Joe Burrow.
Williams makes a catch. It's a different scenario, though, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay.
You know what's so crazy, though, man, is when Peanuthead over here mentioned Ja'Marr Chase.
And
you mentioned Joe Burrow.
Who's Peanuthead?
And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, you know how bad that is, though, when you're the number one pick like I was and you had Neil O'Donnell at quarterback as a rookie opposed to a Joe Burrow? That's like, come on, man, seriously? Like, I got cheated for real.
Well, now you're in the media, or as I like to call it, the Kedia.
Hold on, Evan. Can you pay this peanut head his money?
Yeah, there's a bunch of
peanut heads. Can you pay this peanut head his money? He owes me
$500.
I'm going to keep talking about it every damn day on the show until I get the cash in hand. Well, thank you, Evan.
Can't help you. Yeah. Rich Bisaccia is coaching for his future on Saturday. Take it or shake it.
Take it. I think so. Rich Bisaccia is coaching for his future because if he wins, you can't get rid of a guy who just went 11-6, including the playoffs. You just can't do that, and a team will rally around him. If he loses, you kind of slightly open up the door. And I know there's been reports about Coach Harbaugh coming from Michigan. From everything that I understand, Coach Harbaugh, no one's put in a request through the NFL for Coach Harbaugh at all on none of these teams.
I want to shake it just because everything he's battled through this year, Key, how this team has rallied around him, how you hear Derek Carr talk about him, how you hear Darren Waller talk about him. It's just there's something special about he deserves a chance. Now, if they get smacked, okay. But if they lose the game by a reasonable amount and it's still close, I hope they hold on to him.
I'm going to take it because I think that's the reality. But I want to shake it for this reason. You got to be a fool to let this dude walk out the door, whatever happens in this game. This team has no business in the playoffs, everything they went through this year. He's the coach that helped get him there. He is very well liked by all accounts, by everyone on the team. Why would you let him walk out of your building? But I think it's true, Evan. I think that's what's at stake.
All right, listen closely. The Cardinals are the road team this weekend most likely to make a Super Bowl run. Take it or shake it.
Road team.
Who else is a – I'm sorry.
Give me all the road teams.
Wait.
Niners are a road
team.
Niners, the Raiders.
The Pats.
The Patriots. The Eagles.
Steelers, Eagles.
And the Steelers.
Shake it all day long. The most likely to make a run is going to be the San Francisco 49ers. I'm sorry. No DeAndre Hopkins in the lineup for the Cardinals. First time head coach in Cliff Kingsbury in the playoffs. First time quarterback in Kyler Murray in the playoffs. This is a different season. The playoffs are not the preseason. The playoffs are not the regular season. It is heightened. It is more juice. The littlest mistake could cost you. It's just a different deal. I think it's the 49ers.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, if the Cardinals were fully healthy, it would be a different scenario, but I think the 49ers probably, out of all the road teams, pose the best threat to get to the Super Bowl.
In spite of everything that Key said, and I agree with it, first-time head coach in this situation, but I would like the Cardinals as potential Super Bowl champs if DeAndre Hopkins was healthy. Yeah, but he's not, and so healthy. I can't take it, and I agree with everybody. It's the Niners because they're healthy this time of year.
All right, Take It or Shake is brought to you by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is always there to help. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Last one, guys. Cam Reddish plus R.J. Barrett equals Zion Williamson down the road. Take it or shake it.
Take it. I'm listening to Jay. Jay seems to think his Duke, what do you call it, brothering? Is that what you call it?
Well, the brotherhood. Close.
Brotherhood,
you got
yeah.
the first word correct.
Brotherhood at.
Does brothering mean?
I don't know. It's a Duke saying, I guess, right?
Brothering is not a Duke. What does brothering
mean?
Brotherhood
or something.
Brotherhood,
yeah. I knew it was something like
he
that.
He said brothering.
I don't know what y'all call it, man. Hell, that's why I asked you.
It's like, you according, need brother ring.
Brother ring, brothering hood, whatever. We don't say Trojan hood. Like, we don't.
What's well. On the line for the defending champs? That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.